All right, so this is actually a part two message for Yom Kippur. Last night, I did a lot of history regarding Yom Kippur. I'm not going to be able to cover all that history again, so I encourage you to go into YouTube or Facebook and listen to the message. I understand we might have had a little bit of a camera issue last night, but the message should still be there, and on our website, it'll be there as well. I just haven't uploaded it yet. It should get done later today. So this is that second part, very standalone. You don't have to worry if you didn't hear the first part at all. So I ended up last week with the definition of sacrifice from the Jewish Encyclopedia. And the Jewish Encyclopedia says that sacrifice is this: the act of offering to a deity for the purpose of doing homage, winning favor, or securing a pardon, that which is offered or consecrated. The generic term for sacrifice in Hebrew is korban. So we know that today our fast is a sacrifice, an offering to Him, and that the traditional view in Rabbinic Judaism is that we sacrifice so that Adonai will look favorably upon the one fasting so that they can be put into that book of life. Because we know that, well, let me just review real quickly this one thing that I went over last night. We know that there are three books. There's a book of life where on Rosh Hashanah, those who are righteous and good get written into it right away. There's a book of death, where if you're really evil and bad, you're written into it right away. And then there's this third book, this kind of book in the middle, where almost all of us fall into. And on that, and Rosh Hashanah, we're put into that book, but by Yom Kippur, that book's going to be empty. And the Jewish people believe that by doing teshuvah, by doing prayer, by doing repentance, by doing good deeds, by going to people and asking forgiveness, by going to God and asking them forgiveness, they can be moved from that middle book to the book of life. Because by the end of today, by the end of Yom Kippur, that middle book is going to be empty. Everyone's going to be in the book of life or the book of death. And our Jewish people are struggling to make sure they're in the book of life. That's what they believe Yom Kippur is all about. Now, what if I told you that Yom Kippur was not a magical day that we force ourselves to go hungry in order to seemingly align ourselves with God, but instead we think of it as a day that we symbolically separate ourselves from sin, and in this way we bring ourselves closer to Him? Because we know as believers what separates ourselves from Adonai. It's our sin. We also know as believers that as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we do not place our trust in such actions as fasting for our atonement. And that although we don't fast every day, this attitude that we have today should be really not just on this day, not just on Shabbat, but every day, separating ourselves from sin. It's said that the first Yom Kippur is when Moses brought down from Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments on those two stones. Remember, he came down, he saw the people worshiping and dancing and celebrating a calf, the golden calf. And Moses did what? He broke the stones. But what did he do after that? He went into prayer. He went into asking Adonai for forgiveness for the people. Moses cleansed the sin by ridding Israel of the calf and prayed to Adonai for forgiveness. What he did was turn Israel's walk away from the sin back to Adonai. And this is what Yom Kippur is about. So today I want to look at three things that will help us to understand what we can get out of our sacrifice to Adonai today. As I said, we don't get atonement out of it, but we should get something out of it. We're not just here to get hungry. Whether you're a believer already or not yet, that Adonai provided a Messiah through Yeshua, we have to come to him in the right way. He wants you to spiritually get something out of this fast that you're doing today, out of your coming near to him. The title of the message is Yom Kippur, a day of faith through separation from the world and unity with him. I believe Yom Kippur is more than a day of saying I'm sorry. It's more than just fasting. But it's a day to have faith in him. And that by faith we move away from sin. And we form a stronger unity with him. So let's go over three things. We're going to look at faith, we're going to look at separation from sin, and finally we're going to look at unity with him. Now, faith in Adonai is acceptance of his gift of salvation and the rejection of sins of the world which lead to death. This is what Adonai does for us. Both salvation and sin are present in our life, in the world, every day. Adonai does not remove sin and death from the world that comes from reliance of the world, but he does guide us to life if we allow him to. If I was to set before you two things that appeared identical and told you one would kill you and one would bless you, this really wouldn't be showing a whole lot of love to you, would it? Because you wouldn't know which one to pick. It'd be a real gamble. You wouldn't be assured of anything at that point. But if I was to mark one as having the blessing within it and the other having death within it, then I would be making a loving move to you. Because then your decision would be so much easier which box to open. The decision would be clear on how to make a wise decision. If you didn't make the wise decision, even though they're marked clearly, well, that's on you. You chose death. Torah is the same way. The only difference is that there are those within the world that just don't believe the labeling that Adonai has put on it. They want to place blame on Adonai for trying to scare him or even to try to kill him. The truth is there, but they want to believe that they either know better or they can't trust the one providing the truth. Some would ask the question, why does the loving God even place a decision that causes death within our reach? The answer is the same answer that has always been since the beginning of time. It must be a decision that we make freely. He's given us free will. Adonai does not want a bunch of robots just doing what he says, being in his control all the time. He wants us to choose, just like he chose us to love us. He wants us to choose him to love him. He decided to love his creation, and he wants his creation to decide to love him back. The very beginning of the story with Adam and Eve. Someone's at the door. Elijah. No, wrong holiday. Towards the very beginning of Scripture, one of the first stories we have, Adam and Eve, was a story of faith. They were told not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were to take the instructions by faith that Adonai knew better than they knew. The instruction was to keep them separated from sin. It was not an instruction that was meant to punish, keep them from good things, to keep them from enjoying themselves. It wasn't meant to keep them down so that Adonai would be lifted up. It wasn't meant to make Adonai look stronger than they were. If they had taken the instruction by faith that Adonai was giving it to them as protection, then they would have been better prepared for the enticement of Satan as the serpent. Because they allowed the words of the serpent to enter into their hearts through their ears, they allowed doubt and the lack of faith to enter into their minds and their hearts. They acted out of a lack of faith in reality. This is why we need to have faith in Him. It will help us to make correct decisions about the instructions that He's given us. If we have faith, then we'll have the understanding of the instruction, and we will follow. It's the lack of faith that causes wrong decisions in believers and unbelievers. It's also why we are called to spread the good news so that more will have faith and the ability to make the correct decisions. It is faith that will help us to make the correct decisions and separate us from sin. So that brings us to our second point today, the separation of sin from the world. Decisions made in faith will help us separate ourselves from sin. When looking at the need for separation from sin and the world, we can also look at an example of someone who did not separate themselves correctly, which can be found in the telling of Cain and Abel. Genesis 4:3 says this, starting there and reading a couple of verses. So it happened after some time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Adonai. While Abel, he also brought of the firstborn of the flock and their fat portions. Now Adonai looked favorably upon Abel and his offering, but upon Cain and his offering, he did not look favorably. Cain became angry and his countenance fell. Then Adonai said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, it will lift. But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the doorway. It's desirous for you, but you must master it." We are told that one of the brothers offered an acceptable offering, but the other was not acceptable. Adonai asked Cain, who made the unacceptable offering, why was his countenance fallen? Then next it says what he meant to have a fallen countenance. Adonai knew why Cain was angry. It was because his offering was not acceptable. The sacrifice was not acceptable. Adonai then said that if he did well, if he makes the correct sacrifice, even after the wrong sacrifice, that it would be well for him. There was still time for him to turn. So we're told first what the correct sacrifice is and would mean for him, that he would go well for him. He was not stuck in the place that he thought he was stuck in. A correct sacrifice could fix everything for him. Then we're told that what the incorrect sacrifice meant. It meant sin was crouching at the doorway and would be allowed into his door or into his heart. Adonai tells Cain to master the sin by doing right. The instruction to separate from sin by making the right decision and the right sacrifice in his life. Adonai is telling Cain what is right, but Cain does not have the desire to accept the instruction of Adonai. In this way, it is as Adonai instructed Cain on how to make atonement, or to complete the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippurim. He chose not to follow the directions of Adonai, and the sin grew to a point of murdering his brother, really out of depression that was caused by him not being in a relationship with Adonai. Separation from sin is important to Adonai. When the Hebrews were in Egypt, they needed to be released from Egypt or separated from them. They need to separate themselves from the sin that was represented by Egypt. Also, they can make an appropriate sacrifice. You know, while they were in Egypt, they had everything they needed to sacrifice. They had the animals. They could have created a fire. They had all the things that he needed, except they weren't separated from sin yet. They needed to separate themselves from the lamb, the physical lamb that symbolically was sin. This separation from sin would mean that either the sacrifice would be accepted and you'll be blessed, or not separated from sin means the sacrifice is not going to be accepted and the blessing won't come. We see this warning from the prophet Amos in chapter 5. Adonai sees that they were not separated from their sin. This is why he says this in Amos 5:21. I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your sacred assemblies. Even if you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I look at peace offerings of your fatted animals. In fact, what the people were trying to do then were to merge the festivals or the feasts and the fasts with other gods, with other traditions of the land, the sin that was in the land. Verse 26 says that they lifted up the images of Succoth and Chuin, the false gods of the Assyrian war god and the false god Saturn. As I stated during the lessons from Ezekiel a few weeks back, it is not that Adonai no longer wants sacrifices, but that they were not giving pure sacrifices to him alone. This caused not the drawing near that the sacrifice should have, but a separation that the people and Adonai did not want. They were separating themselves from Adonai because their sacrifices weren't pure. They weren't separated from Adonai. Without the separation from sin, there can be no unity with Adonai. That brings us to unity with him. And we see an example of separation prior to blessing of Adonai in the telling of Abraham. He was told to separate himself from his family, which is the same thing as saying, separate yourself from the world or sin in order to be blessed. Look how Adonai says it in Genesis 12, starting in verse 1 of 12. Then Adonai said to Abraham, get going out of your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham's father was Terah. According to rabbinic literature, Terah was a wicked and idolatrous priest who manufactured idols. Adonai needed to have Abraham separate himself and from his father and from the rest of his family that followed those same idolatrous ways. By causing the separation from the idols and those that followed them, Adonai was able to bring unity with Abram and himself, and to bless him, and to bless those who blessed him. This has always been his instruction to his people. Look what Adonai says to the people towards the end of Deuteronomy through Moses, just before they go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to 12 through 14. Now, if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Then all those blessings will come upon you and overtake you. If you listen to the voice of Adonai your God, who's not on that phone, Adonai will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, and give rain for your land in his sessions, in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. Adonai will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above and not below. If you listen to the mitzvot of Adonai, the instructions of Adonai, your God, that I am commanding you today, careful to do them, and do not turn aside from any of the words I'm commanding you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods in order to serve them. Adonai gives us a list of blessings when we're in unity with him. Verse 1 says, if you listen obediently. Verse 14 says, if you do not go after other gods. He says that if you do things, then you will be unified with him. You do these things, you will be unified with him. And of course, the same is true if it's the opposite. If you don't do these things, not only will you not be blessed, you will be cursed. We are the temple of Adonai, and therefore the sacrifices of atonement must be made by the spilling of blood. It was the blood of bulls and goats in the temple, but without the physical temple, the blood of the bulls cannot be used. But just because the physical temple was destroyed, there was another sacrifice that was made to spill blood for all time. This is the sacrifice of Yeshua on the stake. Solomon prayed to Adonai when the first temple was dedicated. He knew that people will sin and would be separated from the separated at one time or another. And in fact says that there is no man that does not sin. But he also asks Adonai to listen to individuals when they turn back to him for the unity that man needs so much with him. 1 Kings 8:46, reading from there. If they sin against you, for there is no man that does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and their captors carry them away, captive to the land of the enemy, far, far off or near. Yet if they take it to their heart in the land they have been carried captive, and they repent and make supplication to you in the land of the captors, saying, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly, and they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who carry them into exile, and pray to you towards their land that you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place. Maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you, as well as all their transgressions they have transgressed against you. And grant them mercy before their captors, so they may have mercy on them. So you may have mercy on them. We know that there is really only so much time for people to get right with Adonai. There's a limit to the time that people have to make the appropriate sacrifice, which is provided for them through the blood spilled by Messiah Yeshua. At the end of time, and it's not Adonai who runs out of time. Adonai is timeless. He's not the one who runs out of time. You and I run out of time. You and I run out of time when we take our last breath. Then we run out of time. Then it's too late. You and I run out of time when Messiah Yeshua comes back the second time if we have not taken our last breath yet. We are the ones who run out of time. He never runs out of time. Daniel 9:17 says, so now, our God, listen to the prayers and petitions of your servant and cause your face to shine upon your devastated sanctuary for the sake of the Lord. Give ear, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city called by your name. We do not present our supplications before you because of our own righteousness, but because of your great compassion. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. For our own sake, O my God, do not delay. For your city and your people are called by your name. Adonai, on this Yom Kippur, we pray that you allow your face to shine on your devastated sanctuary, your people. That is a people who are unsaved. Who, if they were to make the right choice, would become a part of your temple, your sanctuary. Father, we cry out, not based on our own righteousness, but based on your great compassion for all that you have created. Lord, we ask that you soften hearts, that you unveil eyes, that you allow the lost to see the love that you have for them. On this Yom Kippur, we, your believing body, your temple, who have made the decision to separate ourselves from the sins of the world as best we can and depend on your perfect atonement by the blood shed at the stake, ask that you save a lost and dying world. For those who hear this message today and have not yet made that decision, if your heart has not accepted Yeshua as Messiah yet, there's time. How do I know there's time? You have not taken your last breath yet. Messiah Yeshua has not come back that second time yet. But there will be a time when it becomes too late. There will be a time when you're not going to be able to look back and say, oh, I meant to do that. Oh, now I see what you mean. Oh, I should have had faith in the instructions that my God had given us earlier. If you're one of those who have said those in the past, I can have my fun now and not worry until later. You don't know when your last breath is going to be. You may not have a later. Now's the day. This Yom Kippur, now's the time to enter into faith with your God through your Messiah by the blood that was shed. The instructions for the blood were given in Leviticus 17. I'd given the blood as atonement. Just because the temple is gone doesn't mean Adonai changed his mind. Blood is still the atonement. Blood is still the atonement. Blood was still spilled while the temple stood. The blood was spilled for you. All you need to do is accept the gift. If you've not accepted the gift yet, let this be the day. Let this be the time. Let this be the time your heart has changed. If you're making this decision for the first time, I encourage you say a prayer, a real quick prayer with me right now. Excuse me. Father, forgive me for the prayer, for the sins that I have committed. For the times I've turned my back on you, for the times that I've been faithless to you, while you have been faithful to me, always being nearby. Maybe I've not always seen you, but you've always been there. Father, forgive me for all of that. Yeshua, be my personal Messiah. Accept me as I am. Clean me by your blood. And Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, help me to walk your path that you have for me. If you've said that prayer for the very first time, I encourage you, reach out to someone who will understand it, someone who knows Messiah Yeshua already. Reach out to me, either by phone or by email, and let me encourage you, and let me pray for you. But today, this Yom Kippur, before the proverbial book is closed, asking your heart, is that a decision I need to make? I know that it is. And I pray that you know that it is as well. So Father, we thank you that you've helped us make the decision in the past, and that you will help others make that very same decision for themselves. And you will love them the same way that you've loved us. You will forgive them the same way you forgave us. And you will lift them up on that final day so they may be before your throne worshiping you and not in that fiery place where you are not and that they will suffer forever. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and wonderfulness. And everyone says, amen. Amen. All right, so we're almost done with the...